This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Switching gears, looking at the Broncos at Texans this weekend. Certainly a big game. You got to feel like if you can pull this off against the Texans, then you have the Raiders on a short week. Could be 8-2 by the time you go up against the Kansas City Chiefs later in November. Joining me now to talk about this matchup, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween. I dressed up specifically for this show because it's radio and they can see me.
If you're actually wearing a costume, what is this costume, Benjamin?
Oh, I just wore my normal clothes and went as the handsomest man alive.
Of course. You know, you are a good-looking dude, Benjamin. I got a chance to do shows with you in person, and yes, I will. I have no problem saying it. Well done.
If you don't mind, I'm going to change shirts really quick.
Okay.
I want to change costumes and be the smartest man alive.
Now, that's pretty good, too. You know, sitting with you for a while. Yeah, I would say you know your stuff. You know your stuff, especially when it comes to the NFL. Hey, let me ask you this real quick, side note. Mike McDaniel, we're reading that it sounds like he is going to finish the season, but we saw what happened with the general manager this morning. Is there any chance he comes back next year?
They make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, he won't be back.
That's it.
That was the mandate at the beginning of the year. That's been the mandate the entire time. They know what it is, and they know that they've got the opportunity to dig themselves out of a very, very deep hole here. And if they do it, they'll be around, and if they don't, they won't.
Do you what do you look at with Miami? Because it was just, 2 years ago, we're talking about Mike McDaniel and Tua's figuring it out if he could stay healthy. Oh, you had Tyreek Hill, Waddle. What went wrong for the Dolphins? Is it as simple as quarterback just didn't live up to it? You're out of Tyreek Hill. What happened? What went wrong for the Dolphins?
Well, it wasn't just one thing. It was several things. I mean, you had injuries. Obviously, the quarterback position is a part of that. But you had injuries, and they just never got the offensive line fixed. And that's a large part of what they need to do. That scheme is so offensive line dependent. When you have Tyreek Hill take a step back and then not be there, and yet you have an offensive line that can't protect, quarterback gets out. It's just a combination of things. I mean, you know, and the thing was at its best, you had Tua throwing the ball to track star receivers, and he had enough time to get those passes off. Now they don't, and that's quite simply the difference.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, taking a look at this matchup between the Broncos and the Texans. Now, the Texans are 3-4, but Benjamin, it kind of feels like they're starting to figure it out.
Yeah, it kind of does. We saw the offense kind of pop to life a little bit last week. Their defense has been good all year. They are a very, very good defense. I know we like to consider ours the best, but statistically they are. They're very fast. They get after the quarterback, which is four. And they're a good defense. I cannot stress that enough. Going down there, playing an early game in that environment in Houston against a good defense, I don't know. The Houston Texans are a decent football team despite the record, and I have a little trepidation about this one.
Yeah, I mean, the edge rushers, obviously, for Houston, the secondary, it's going to be a hell of a matchup, certainly. And then for the Broncos going into this matchup on the defensive side for them, Patrick Surtain out might actually mean an easier day for Riley Moss. I don't know, but how much of a drop do you see with this defense with Surtain out?
Well, there's definitely going to be some impact there, and that is the question. I think the joke I made after Surtain was, we found out he was going to be out was, not that anybody's relieved, but Riley Moss might be.
Might be, yeah.
Since he'll be targeting the other side of the field a little bit. As far as that goes, I mean, yeah, it is a step back. Edwards Drain, he's a sure tackler, but the way he plays the position is almost is almost the opposite of the way Sertan plays it. Sertan likes to play in trail technique and then uses athleticism to catch up and make plays. Abrams Drain likes to play off, leave the play in front of him, and then come up and make the tackle. And so, you know, I suspect if the Texans are worth their salt at all, you're going to have a bunch of, you know, quick hitches and things like that in the playbook early, trying to take advantage of the fact that Abrams Drain likes to play a little softer in coverage and give up the stuff in front of him.
Well, I mean, how much more pressure does that put on the pass rush for the Broncos? They've been very good, but it's kind of been that chicken or the egg thing. Excellent secondary, excellent pass rush, but a little added, I would imagine, for guys like Benito and Cooper.
Yeah, you're up against the offensive line to have a day dependent on the front seven, I would say. You know, the offensive line for the Houston Texans is their weakest link, so that's going to be, you know, that's something to keep your eye on. As the front seven of Denver should be able to dominate them. But, you know, I mean, they've not been very good all year. So, you know, C.J. Stroud's used to having pressure in his face. But it is going to be big on them. If they want to stay in their usual coverage, which, you know, is a lot of cover one and cover three, if they want to stay in those coverages, they're going to have to have that front five, front seven get home.
Do you see now, we know Denver with the man-to-man style of defense that they play is quite a bit of the game. Do you see this team going into more zone matchups than what we've seen throughout the course of the season?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll switch to zone necessarily. You might see some more like two deep man under type looks,
yeah,
where you're running a two shell with the safeties and then, you know, playing man underneath it. But I don't think you're going to shift away. You're not suddenly going to become a, you know, a cover three or a Tampa two team or any of that kind of stuff.
Benjamin, talk to me about Mercedes Lewis. He's like 99 years old, man. He was, what was it, his rookie year, 2006? Wasn't that Sean Payton's rookie head coaching year? I mean, I was a sophomore in college at that point. That was a completely different world when he was a rookie in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, God said let there be light, and he was there to turn on the switch. Yeah. You know, it was you look at his career. I mean, he was teammates with Kyle Brady, who was born in 1972. He's going to be teammates with people that were born in, you know, 2003.
Weird.
You know, this year. So that's certainly, you know, I mean, that's like a 30-year span of difference there. He was to put it in perspective, I mean, Mercedes Lewis was playing in the league when Rod Smith was still in the league. You know, Vinny Testaverde, Morton Anderson was still kicking in the league when you know, he entered the league. So, matter of fact, his draft class was the same one D'Amico Ryans was drafted in as a player. So, you know, something to keep your eye on there. I guess a little added flavor to the conversation. But he still got it. You know, he got signed, and I was like, "There's hope for us yet, Nick." Talking to my radio partner Nick Ferguson, we can get out there. We can get a contract, man. You know, if anybody needs, and I'm just putting this out there on your air, Brady. If anybody needs a slow, washed wide receiver that can't catch anymore, I am there for you. So just putting it out there.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah, no, he brings something to the table. I mean, he's a good blocker, and the Broncos have liked, you know, that six offensive line look has been kind of vogue in the league this year. They were running tackle eligible with Alex Palcheski. Now, Palcheski's the left guard,
yeah.
So they don't really run that with him, but you could see Mercedes Lewis out in that situation. Maybe he's catching that ball Garrett Bowles couldn't quite get to, you know, a couple weeks ago. So, you know, there's a little bit of value there. I think he gives them a solid, reliable inline blocker, which is not necessarily something they had outside of Troutman. So I think there's value there.
Do we see him this weekend, Benjamin?
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Wow. Any would it be a shock if he actually catches a pass?
I mean, you know Sean Payton. He likes to do doofy stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's probably a play in that playbook somewhere. They dial that up. Like I said, put him in the bowls position in that 2-point play or whatever that play, that touchdown play, a second down play they ran 2 weeks ago, and maybe he makes a catch there.
This is we're talking more and more over the years about quarterbacks that are playing into their 40s. It's still somewhat rare, but we're seeing it. Tight end in his 40s in 2025, this feels like uncharted territory, Benjamin, but I'm guessing, I mean, were there other guys like at that type of position that played into their 40s?
Not really. I mean, if he makes a catch, he'd be the oldest to ever do it at that position. Certainly we've had guys play into their 40s before. You know, Steve DeBerg came back, I think, at 44. Now, he'd been away from the league for a couple of years, but he came back during that season. The Falcons had all those injuries and played a couple of games. We saw Tom Brady, obviously. You know, Jason Peters came close, I think, at tackle there. He was like 40, I think, when he was done. You have to go way back, though. I mean, like George Blanda was playing well into his, well into his 40s, but he was a kicker, punter, and and quarterback, sometime quarterback. At that point, I most of those positions, the non-contact positions, the kickers, punters, quarterbacks, if you can still do it, you make it. It's rare, though, that you get skill position players doing it like Jerry Rice or like Mercedes Lewis here.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, they're 6-2. Big kind of swing game, I feel like, because if you win this thing, man, setting yourself up to potentially, really make a real run at winning this division, and then who knows what else. But why does it, I feel like the Broncos are a good team. Why does it not feel necessarily like they're 6-2 good?
Well, I mean, you've had some close scrapes that you've gotten by. I mean, putting up 33 in the fourth quarter and needing 33 in the fourth quarter against the New York Giants is kind of an eyebrow raiser in a lot of ways. You barely beat the New York Jets, and they're terrible. You need a fourth quarter comeback against the Eagles. And then the football gods go the other way sometimes. You look at the Colts and Chargers games, you're one play away from winning those. So it's one of those things where you're 6-2, and I'm still not sure if his team's any good. But we'll see. I think this is definitely the toughest defense they've played to date, and I think you win this one, and I don't think anybody can deny you're a contender. You lose this one, and a lot of those question marks that have been out there remain and will have to be resolved, maybe not against the Raiders, but against the Chiefs in the coming weeks.
Yeah, big one for sure. The Broncos now, I believe, are a point and a half dog. Where are you going on this one, my friend?
This is just a tough matchup. The early game down in Houston, tough defense. You're missing Surtain. I don't know, man. I'm going the other way on this one. I'm going to say Houston wins a close, tight win, 20-17.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos get right against the Raiders next week.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, man, I hope you're wrong about that. I hope it's a great game. I mean, it's setting up. It should be a fun game, and hopefully the Broncos can pull it off.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I was wrong last week. I thought Dallas would be able to get that offense going. I was wrong last week. So, of course, I was wrong on a lot of games last week. I made the mistake of picking Cincinnati and picking Atlanta. I looked like an idiot last week. So.
Dude, it happens. You're always going to catch one of those lousy weeks. And unfortunately for you, it just happened to be last weekend.
But, maybe it was the reverse jinx on the Broncos, and so we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it, man. All right, my friend. You trick-or-treating tonight? I know you got Broncos country tonight, but after, you're going to do some late-night trick-or-treating?
I've been told that it's a little weird that a mid-40s adult male with no kids is hanging out looking for candy. I've been told that's not a great look, so I think I'm going to lay off a little this year.
I was just talking about this earlier. My story, kind of, my kiddo's autistic. For him, like, the idea of trick-or-treating is just ridiculous to him, because he's like, I have candy at the house. Why would I dress up and go around in the cold to get candy when we can literally just turn around and I got it right there? For him, it's very black and white. So we're not a big trick or treating family.
Well, then you save yourself some wear and tear on your on your shoes there. It's an entirely different world for me when I'm going out there with no kids. People are like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Benjamin, appreciate it as always, man. Love your insight on the Broncos, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, man. All right. He's kind of thinking the Texans are going to win this game, Mike. And I know you're throwing up in your mouth a little bit because you think the Broncos are going to win even when they don't play. But
we'll balance.
He's not like way off. This is right down the middle. If you want to look at like the ESPN matchup predictor, it's like 50.3% Broncos, 49.3% Houston, although the line has the Broncos as the dog in this one. It started with the Broncos as -1.5. Maybe the Patrick Surtain news changed that a bit, but no. I mean, Nico Collins sounds like he's going to play. The Texans edge rushers with Anderson and Hunter, those guys are pretty close to Benito and Cooper, right there. I mean, Hunter slowed down a little bit, but Anderson's on a tear, which also means, like, for Houston, they don't have to get too crafty with their blitz packages. They don't have to get too creative, because they can really rely on that base 4-3 defense to do their damage up front. So this is going to be a dogfight. This is a test for Denver. This might be the real test. And that's why I asked. And Michael, of course, the next game's always the most important. This feels like the real test for Denver to see kind of where they are. Because Dallas, before that game. I said they were inconsistent. Their offense was very good, but they're beatable. They're also capable of winning games that they shouldn't. This is a team that I feel like got off to a rough start with an interesting schedule, and they're starting to figure it out. Houston's 3-4. They still might very well be in the playoff picture. A win against the Broncos this weekend is huge for them, so they're looking at it that way. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap up hour number one. Ethan Bird, I believe, we're going to have him talk some Wyoming at San Diego State coming up. And then Brian Howell will join us. The Buffs are trying to recover after a terrifying game against Utah a week ago. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Big City Roadhouse presents Football Friday. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.